Turn in your Bibles tonight, if you would, to Revelation chapter 17. We're going to continue. We started in chapter 17, till we had just talked about the great final judgment of a series of 21 judgments. And in verse 21 of chapter 16, men blaspheme God because of the plague of the hail. Since this plague was exceeding great, we're talking about anywhere from 80 to 120 pound hailstones that are pulverizing the planet at this time. I don't plan on being here for that, do you? In verse 1 of chapter 17, one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters." We started to talk about this great harlot. Who is this great harlot? "With whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication." It's talking about fornication here. Now, this is not a literal woman. How many have realized that by looking at this? This is not a human being. It's symbolic of something. And in the scriptures, we know that often when adultery and fornication are mentioned, especially in Old Testament, it's referring to spiritual harlotry or spiritual adultery, cheating on God, having other gods before Him. Idolatry is spiritual harlotry. Sometimes we fashion God to suit ourselves. We create our own idols in our own hearts by saying, "To me, God is like this." And another may say, "Well, to me, God is like that. And God's going to be who I want Him to be to me." But God does not change. He is who He is. He says, "I am who I am." Amen? He is the Lord. He does not change. He changes not. And so you cannot fashion God. God's not going to fit into your box. What needs to happen is we need to be transformed into Him, His image. We need to conform to Him. He doesn't form to us. Because our view, our opinion of God is often distorted. Our opinion of God often is based upon our own experiences on earth. The relationships we grew up with, the family structures sometimes that we grew up in, the authorities that we have known growing up or in life, often we think God is like those people that were in charge of us. So if you had a teacher who was abusive, often people can grow up, especially young people, to think that God must be abusive too. That's why it is so important that fathers train up their children in the way of the Lord. Amen? That they not only teach them, but they model to them what it is to walk like Jesus walked. We need to be an example. Not just tell them what to do, but we need to also walk it out. We need to demonstrate what it is to be Christ-like to our children. Because moms and dads, amen, we are the authorities that our children understand, that they see, that they can touch, that they can handle. And as they're growing up, they're looking at us as an example of what really you are, to, in their eyes, their God in a lot of ways. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to point them to Him, amen, by modeling Him to them. Because if we don't properly train our children, if we don't model who God is to them properly, chances are they're not going to want to know this God, because all they've got for a reference is you or me. That's why many people struggle with even the concept of God, because it's distorted based upon their own experience. Is this making sense? But when you see fornication here, it's talking about spiritual fornication, being unfaithful to the Lord. It's creating a god to fit yourself. It's idolatry. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. He was taken up out of his body. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. And that word marvel doesn't mean like he was going, wow. It meant that he was just studying and pondering what he was seeing. But the angel said to me, why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. The beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to destruction or perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, those whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. And the beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth and is of the seventh. And I know this is a little confusing. Hopefully we'll get to that tonight. And is going to perdition or destruction. And the ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb, who's the Lamb? Will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Is that us? And he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So now we have the interpretation of the waters. And the ten horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. How many see here that God is very much involved in the affairs of the earth and the world? Amen? And the way governments rise and fall. And the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Now, let's go back to the beginning here. What is Babylon, the identity of Babylon? Many archaeologists believe that, they claim that Babylon was the cradle of modern civilization. And that this civilization was founded by Nimrod, who was a rebellious man before God. According to historical documents, excavated from the ruins of this city generated some of the greatest wickedness known to man in ancient times. It is believed that at this place on the banks of the Euphrates River, false religion started. False religion is man's attempt for self-government in defiance to God's will. I want you to think about that. Whenever there's false religion, again, it has to do with idolatry. It has to do with us determining that God is going to look like this. Some people literally go to the extreme of fashioning something out of their own hands and bowing down to it. Some people only do it in their imagination. How many know that you have to be careful about your imagination too? You need to sanctify your imagination. One of the techniques that they use in witchcraft is astral projection. And one of the things that they attempt to do is to cause their soul to come out of their body and to travel. It's called soul travel. How many have seen the witch on the broomstick? It's symbolic of astral projection. The ways also in shamanism and in witch doctors throughout the earth who are practicing worshiping of demons and trying to conjure up spells. They use their imagination often to picture a certain deity, and they concentrate and they focus so that what actually happens is they form an image in their mind, and this image becomes then their god, if you will, or their deity. And they focus long enough on this thing, guess what? They begin to open a door to their soul for Satan to come in. And you know what? Sometimes he even comes in looking like Jesus. Wow. There are people who are using these type of shamanistic techniques. How many know that God doesn't go by technique? He's not manipulated by us, folks. God is sovereign. If God decides to show up, he's going to show up. Amen? Amen? But you cannot conjure up God. In witchcraft, there's manipulation and there's this opening up of oneself into a what they call visualization, of visualizing and using the imagination. And so some people, often in innocence, well-meaning people, have been taught by some through false teaching that, well, if you want it to be your God to be Buddha, then you just visualize Buddha and Buddha will show up eventually. If you want your God to be Allah, then you visualize Allah. If you want your God to be Hare Krishna, then you visualize and he'll show up. If you want your God to be Jesus, you visualize Jesus and Jesus will show up. Folks, this stuff is crept into the church. Come on. It has crept into the church. The Lord said, "You shall have no other gods before me. You will not make a graven image and bow down to it and worship it." And so it doesn't go all the way sometimes to the person literally doing that. It happens in the imagination as well. And what are we talking about here? We're talking about a spirit, a very ancient spirit. It's a spirit of Antichrist that's been from the very beginning. Who is that? It's Lucifer. It's Satan. It's the fallen one. Who has, throughout the ages, seduced people into worshiping him, thinking that they're worshiping God. Because he wants to set himself up as God. So he impersonates sometimes even God. He impersonates the Holy Spirit. His desire is for you to worship him. And so he presents himself in very attractive packages. He doesn't come with horns and a tail. He comes as an angel of light. Now we know that the Lord has sent angels. Amen? They are servants sent from the Lord to us who are heirs of salvation. Thank God that he's given his angels in charge concerning us. Amen? Psalms 91. But we are never to worship angels. And I don't see anywhere in Scripture where it says to pray to angels. But people are doing it. Some people, even Christians, are getting infatuated with angels or caught up in angels, wanting to see angels. And without even realizing, sometimes they're getting into the visualization technique of shamanism and they're conjuring up these things. They're opening themselves up to another, if you will, dimension. I believe in the second heaven. Okay, there is no love. This is how I see it, how I understand it. There's a first heaven that we're in that route, and there's a second heaven, but then there's the third heaven, amen? And we have a direct line through Jesus Christ, amen, to the Father, hallelujah, by the Holy Spirit. So we don't need to conjure anything up. We simply ask and we receive. We seek and we find. There has to be seeking sometimes, you know? So this harlot who sits on this beast, we're going to talk about this a little bit. On her forehead a name was written, Mystery Babylon the Great. The mother of harlots, meaning that she has offspring, and of the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman, listen, drunk with the blood of saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. So in other words, even though she may present herself as being something beautiful and attractive, her goal is to destroy, amen? Especially the people that know Jesus. This is happening all over the earth today. Christians are dying for their faith. The spirit of Antichrist is very active. And this spirit of Antichrist also sets itself up in the temple of God in time. Amen? I believe there will be a literal of this, but I also believe that in the spirit, there is a false Jesus presenting itself. And it's a Jesus that fits the fashioning of the person. In other words, I don't really like the Jesus I'm reading about, so I'm going to create my own Jesus. And to me, Jesus is going to be like this. There's a political correct Jesus too, you know. The political correct Jesus just, you know, ignores some of the teachings of Jesus and adds the opinion of the person in there. Well, I like Jesus to be like this because this is the way I want to live my life. Folks, that is idolatry and it is damnable. It is a heresy. It is an abomination to God. God will not tolerate it. So John sees this vision of this whore sitting on a scarlet-colored beast, clothed in purple and scarlet. That purple and scarlet speaks of rulership. And this, she's wearing all kinds of jewelry made of gold, pearls, and precious stones. And you know, it's interesting that purple and scarlet were the color of the emperors from the time of Constantine. And 312 BC or AD. And in her hand is this golden cup. Now, what do you do with a cup? You drink. So she's got a golden cup in her hand, and what do you drink from it? Well, what's in the cup? It says it's full of abominations. What's an abomination? It's that which God loathes, what he really hates, what he detests. And the filthiness of her fornications. In other words, her corruptness, her twisting of things, her corruption of the things that are true. It's idol worship, in other words. Now, I want to put this in right here because I think it's very important, folks. I want you to hear this one more time. And you're going to hear it a lot from me. You already have. But we're living in a time right now where even many churches are eliminating the cross. Many churches are bowing down to a different spirit altogether that fits their own fancy, that happens often to align with what's politically correct and not according to the truth. When you eliminate, I'm not talking about the wooden thing on the wall here. I'm talking about what the cross is all about, what it means. When you take out the cross of Jesus Christ, when you remove the blood of Jesus Christ from the equation, you now have a counterfeit religion. Right. You have a whore religion. You have something that's been trampled on. Are you with me? It's been tampered with. Because the only way, I want you to hear this, for this spirit of Antichrist to be able to rule the world is he is creating a one world religion where everybody just gets along. And in order to do that, there has to be an elimination of the blood of Jesus because it's the cross that stands out. Amen? It is the cross that is an offense. And it's especially offensive to the devil. You don't want to know why? Because it's only through the blood of Jesus Christ that one can enter into life. You must be born again. There is no other way except through the grace of God given freely at Calvary. Amen? Amen. That blood that Jesus shed was not the blood of sinful Adam. It was the blood of God. The virgin shall conceive and bear in her womb a child. Amen? Yes. He'll be the child of the Most High. She was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit so that the bloodline was not linked to Adam. It was not from Joseph. Amen? It was from God. So only the blood of Christ could pay for the sins of the world because the Lord had established His covenant in the very beginning that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And so there's this attempt to eliminate the cross. And what it does is it sets people up to accept all personal belief systems as a legitimate way to God. Once you take away the equation of the blood, now we can all kind of just agree on certain things and get along and have one world happy church. The problem is there's no salvation except through the cross, through the blood. It is a lie. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Amen? Yeah. On her head is this band, and it says, "Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth." Who is this harlot? What is the meaning of the beast upon which she sits? And I want to just mention this, folks, that one of the main rules for interpreting the Bible is this. If it is something that when the literal meaning of Scripture makes common sense, we seek no other meaning. In other words, if it's something that is practical, common sense, it's something that is real to life, then we don't need to seek another meaning for it. Obviously, this woman sitting on this beast is not a real human being. So we need to seek the meaning for this. There's symbolism here. But there are other times when God speaks that He's very literal about it. It means just what it says. If it makes common sense to us, folks, you don't need to seek another meaning for it. The problem is that we get beyond using this sometimes too. We need to use our brains too. Would you agree? God gave us a mind, not to set on a shelf. And the problem is sometimes we typify things that are literal in the Scripture, and we literalize things that are symbolic. And that's where you get a wrong interpretation of Scripture. Am I right? Yeah. You need to know what's symbolic and what's literal. Right. Because a lot of cults have got started on symbolizing things that are literal or literalizing things that are symbolic. None of us can understand the truth except by the Holy Spirit. Except by the Spirit of truth. He's the one that reveals truth. All of us receive a portion. Amen? We have a certain amount of understanding, a certain amount of knowledge. Together we can mature. Together we can grow. Together we can all contribute and grow up and be healthy as a body, right? I don't have all the truth, and neither do you. But together we can mature in the Lord. And my interpretation of Scripture isn't necessarily 100%. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 that we know in part. We know in part. Whatever I say, pray about it. Study it. Look it up. Don't just take everything somebody says, amen, because it sounded right, that it's right. Because there is a way that seems right unto a man. But in the end is the way of death. Okay. So this harlot on the scarlet-covered beast. Now, this is the same one that is mentioned in Revelation chapter 13. Except here she's wearing this red garment. This scarlet garment. And there are many Bible scholars that believe this is speaking of the blood that was shed by the saints and those who were persecuted under the rule of this harlot. Now the harlot, in my understanding, is speaking of this one world religious order. It is a whore church. It is what we're going to know as the world church. What is happening right now? That the ecumenical movement throughout the earth is a coming together of all religions. What are we seeing? We're seeing a mixture here, folks. How many know that the Word of God is pure? Amen. The Word of God is not to be tampered with. We are not to take away, we're not to add to. But there is a political correct way of looking at the Scriptures today that many people are following that is really being propagated by Satan himself through his false prophets. So this false church, this world church, where Hindus and Muslims and Christians and everybody gets together and we form a one world church where the hope is that there will be world peace. Now, who doesn't want world peace? I hope you wouldn't raise your hand and say, I don't. Of course we want world peace, right? Does anybody here not want world peace? All right. There's not going to be any world peace, amen? Real peace in the world, except in the hearts of those who have the Prince of Peace. That's you and I. And we are the peacemakers, by the way, amen? We are to bring in the kingdom, hallelujah. But ultimately, it's not going to be until the Prince of Peace returns and rules over all the earth, amen? And it says that he shall destroy the Antichrist with the brightness of his coming. So before that happens, there has to be a great deception. Folks, do you see the deception today? Even in the church, we've got to be very careful. In Isaiah 1 and 21, it talks about Jerusalem, or how the faithful city has become a harlot. It was full of justice, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. See, it's talking about the same thing. And James mentioned it too as well. I'll read it again. Adulterers and adulteresses, he said. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend with the world makes himself an enemy of God. Wow, this is not what the message of the world is. To the world, that's intolerance. That's bigotry. But that's the Word of God. What is the world? It's not talking about the earth, is it? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world is the cosmos. It's that sin, amen, and that rebellion against God. Anything that sets itself up against the knowledge of Christ. The world system is being manipulated by Lucifer, and men are in rebellion because they are bowing down to him. And many believe when they speak God, when they say God, their God is not the God of the Bible, folks. And when people say, I believe in God, you need to ask them, what God do you believe in? What's the name of your God? Amen? Didn't he give us a name?
Yes.
When we pray, our Father who art in heaven. That God. Amen? Jehovah. Jesus. Joshua, Savior. Many, many names the Lord gives us throughout Scripture. Amen? Many of His names. You see a lot of people today that are thinking that they're doing God a favor by killing other people in the name of God. And they say God is great. Folks, that's not the God of the Bible. Jesus said, I did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. It's not the same God. Our God is not a God of hate. And that's why God hates sin. Because sin destroys. Are you with me? Babylon the Great. This woman represents the apostate church of the last days. A church that intermingles with the religious system of the world. And you know, it talks about the fact that these people were intoxicated by her. Intoxicated. You know, I was having a good conversation with someone the other day. And it baffles me how people can literally, what? Have you ever gotten drunk and hang out with the boys, right? And we said, man, I was really blind last night. I really got blind. That used to be a term, you know. I don't think they use that anymore. But you know, there's a lot of truth to that. When people get drunk or intoxicated or they get stoned, they do become blind. That's why we're told to be sober-minded. Amen? In the Bible. So we're on our alert. We're sharp. We're paying attention. So we can pray. We can have clarity. Amen? Sober. So here it talks about that there's this intoxication that comes as a result of the influence of this spirit. And I want to tell you, folks, it blows my mind, and I pray, God, don't ever let it happen to me. But there are so many people today that are just blind. Are you with me? Just blind. And they don't know they're blind. Only the Lord can remove the veil from our eyes, from our hearts, so we can see, really see. And you know why, even in the church, there's so much blindness? Because there's a failure for people to repent. Because of pride, people will not repent. And the more that they resist the Spirit of God to repent when He's convicting them of sin, the blinder they become. The Lord even said that to some, He will actually let them go to a reprobate mind, because when He called, when He convinced and convicted them to repent of their sin, they continue to refuse to listen. And in Thessalonians it says, for this reason, why? They didn't receive the love of the truth. They didn't love God enough to receive truth even when it was painful. None of us like to eat, amen, humble pie. But folks, it's the way of life. We need to walk in repentance. We need to walk in humility. We need to remain teachable so that the enemy cannot blind us. You see, we do it to ourselves by refusing the love of the truth. And for this reason, God shall send strong delusion to those that they may believe the lie, who had pleasure in unrighteousness. God grant even to the church in America repentance today. We've become in love with the world in so many ways. Come on, you can't be in bed with the world, amen? Because again, what did James say? He said, he who will be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Either you're all the way with Jesus, or you're going to end up getting swept away with the flood of this. Amen? Help me, Jesus. So this false church, and it says that she's sitting on a scarlet colored beast. What is a scarlet colored beast mentioned here? I believe the beast actually represents the Antichrist. The false church is the whore, amen? And it rides on the backside of the Confederation of Nations. There's these. We'll get into this a little bit. It's, first of all, it says it's full of names of blasphemy, this beast. It has seven heads. And in verse 9, it tells us what they are. There's seven mountains. It has 10 horns in verse 3, which is talking, I believe, a confederacy of nations. And it says it was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. Now, think about this. Satan existed in the past, but cannot be visibly seen today. This is one way of looking at it. But will be released on this world in the future in the physical form of the Antichrist. I believe the Antichrist will be actually be Satan on the earth in a body form. Now, it's interesting that if you study the Antichrist and you study Revelation, you'll also see an unholy trinity, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, even as we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so what he does is he impersonates everything, he copies everything God does, except it's all perverted. The Bible says that the beast will actually be killed. He'll receive a deadly wound. He'll be killed, but he'll be resurrected to life again. And that's why people will marvel after the beast and say, who's like the beast? Do you see the parallels? Jesus died and rose again. Amen? And the good news is this, is that God is offering us a way out. He's offering us a way of escape. He does not want anyone to perish. He died, amen, on the cross for us so that we could be saved. So we could escape His wrath. So we could be with Him forever. Hallelujah. But we've got to choose this day who we're going to serve. We're going to serve the Jesus the world tells us about, or the Jesus the Bible talks about. You see, we come to know the real Jesus through the written word, amen? And because we love the truth, when God says it, I believe it, that settles it. I don't alter it to fit my lifestyle. Somebody was saying the other day, well, God would understand. I'm living with my girlfriend out of wedlock. God would understand that. Does He? Somebody else said the other day that about 20 of my friends all seem to think it's okay too. Spoken from a Christian, quote unquote, living in adultery. Nobody here. I'm just telling you, this is what happened. Don't look around at each other. Is there something wrong with that picture? What are we doing? We're fashioning a God to suit ourselves. They're falling into the trap of the Antichrist. That spirit that is in rebellion to God. And if you look hard enough, you'll find people that will agree with you. You can find 20 people that say, it's okay. No big deal. You're saved by grace. Whew. Now, I don't know. I've heard different interpretations of these 10 horns. Okay? But I think the majority of Bible scholars agree it's speaking, and it even says in there of nations, okay? I've heard two primary schools of thought. One is there's 10 nations, possibly the European Union, okay, Western Federation of, and out of this the Antichrist will arise and rule. And then another one is something interesting that's been happening in the last probably 20 years that's becoming more clear. And that is that the world is actually divided up into 10 regions. Yes. I happen to believe, folks, in a world, amen, government is going to be implemented. It's already actually there. It just hasn't been revealed yet completely. It's already in place. There is a one world monetary system. Everybody is known. Everybody's in the computer bank. Now with the technology, they have complete control. There's no such thing as money anymore. Even if you have gold, everything is based upon compilation of numbers in a computer bank. Come on, you transfer, you put some paper into the bank, you know, and it goes into some computer, and it's now a numerical, it's just numbers being tossed around in a computer. Everything is numbers, yeah. There's nothing there to support it, to back it up. There are executive orders that any time the president can say, see, you know, confiscate, seal, you know, all assets. Stop the flow. You go to the ATM, you're not getting anything out. It's numbers anyways. And paper. Everything is in place, folks, right now, for complete domination. How many have heard this already? How many understood that? There is a world system. There is a world religious system backed by Antichrist. Amen. There's a one world bank, monetary system. And there's a one world government. And George Bush was the first one to really start talking about it. Over 300 times he talked about the one world order, the new world order. And after that they said, be quiet. They're starting to catch on. Hey, what I'm saying right now is, you know, there's just people out there, man, that are, you know, this is not fantasy world, folks, okay? This is not somebody's paranoid imagination. This is a reality. I've had a list of executive orders. They can freeze all assets, folks, everything. Not only money, petroleum, food, everything is controlled now. I don't know how many. There's only so many main food hubs now. I think 8 in America and Canada. The walls are coming down before nations. We're pretty much becoming more into Mexico and then up into Canada. We're a region. You have South America, and then you have 10 regions now. Everything is being brought together. And because there are a handful of people that are controlling everything. They're controlling the money. Who is it that sets the rates? The Federal Reserve? Who's that? It's not American, is it? It's a company, yeah. It's independent of our country. It's a violation of the Constitution. This is the reality. So we're getting close, I believe, to the time when they're going to just one day rise up and say, the time is now. World order. Right now they can do an executive order, and they can have the military become the police force. Let me just say this, that God is trying to wake up His church. And God is trying to say, listen, don't be fearful. You know, don't run and hide in a cave. You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. Let your light shine. Amen. Reach people for Jesus. We have an opportunity, a window of opportunity to preach the gospel right now. Thousands and thousands are coming into the kingdom all over the globe. The harvest is ripe. America's starting to wake up, at least in some places, and I believe the Northwest is starting to wake up too. So we need to be about our assignment, amen? We're not here to save ourselves. We're here to give ourselves away for Jesus. Why? Because we're already alive in Christ. The only thing they can kill is our body. We're already dead. Been resurrected with Christ. I'm a new creation. You know, I believe the Lord is weaning all of us, you know, weaning us in different ways from any type of really attachment to the world and the things of the world. Does anybody here tonight, just show of hands, find enjoyment in the world anymore? Do you find pleasure in the world? I mean, is there anything you can think of that you can do that really brings you pleasure anymore? That's a sign of maturity, actually. Because what happens is now, because our life is hidden with Christ in God, He is our life, and we find our fulfillment, our joy, our life, our peace in Him. He's our life. He's the one that delights me. God is delightful. He is pleasurable. He's the one that fills our lives with joy. Woo. I'm getting happy just talking about him. Wow. Daniel 7:24 says the 10 horns are 10 kings. There's a parallel in the book of Daniel. Sometime you can look at it. Who shall arise from this kingdom? So there we see it.
Hallelujah. The seven heads symbolize seven mountains. Now, the city of Rome in ancient times was the capital of the Roman Empire and the center of persecution against Christians. It says she'll make herself drunk, amen, and she will persecute the church. She's made drunk with the wine of her fornication. And in verse 6 we see, and I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And so whoever aligns themselves with this whore church are going to be guilty as well of persecuting the true church. I'm going to hold it up right there tonight. But listen. Throughout history, God has had a remnant. God has had a people throughout history. You and I are privileged to be His people, to be that remnant. Hallelujah. And to know the things that we know, to have our eyes open to the truth and the reality of what's really going on, folks, is a privilege as sons and daughters. Because there are many, many, many people who do not know what's happening and what's about to happen. Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, they were eating and drinking and giving in marriage, and they didn't know until the day they entered into the ark. The flood came and took them all away. Folks, that's what's going to happen. It's going to happen suddenly. People went to bed one night over in Japan, and that was it. It is time for the church to rise to her calling, to her purpose in the earth, to represent God and His kingdom, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. That God is offering you, as John said, a way to escape His wrath. As He was baptizing, He said, "Who warned you to flee from the wrath of God?" And the Holy Spirit got a hold of Him. Said, "Okay, Lord, I'm toeing the line with You now. I'm with You, Jesus. I'm going with You. I love the truth. It doesn't always feel good, but I love the truth. It keeps you free too." Yeah. Let me just say this in closing. You're not going to be popular with the world if you stand up for Jesus. Jesus said, "If they hated Me, they will hate you also." If you're really living for God, you're going to have some enemies. Just count on it. Yeah. But you know what? I'd rather be a friend of God than a friend of the world. Because the world and its lusts is passing away. But those who do the will of God abide forever. Amen? The word of our Lord shall stand forever. And we are people of the Lord. Amen. We are people of God. We love His Word. His Word is our food. In Him we live. Amen. We eat and we drink Jesus. Hallelujah. So fear not, as you said earlier, fear not. God's saying, don't fear any of the things that you see coming upon the earth. Instead, prepare yourself to meet your God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus.